Hello, welcome along to The Hype and the Hope.
I'm Shari.
I'm Mike, and hello after...
2 months?
Yeah, it's been a little while.
Except it doesn't hopefully seem like 2 months because we did have 4 episodes that we recorded earlier.
For us, it's been a while. A hot minute. Yes.
They say, oh, you should upload once a week and it should be on a Tuesday. And was like, you know, I can't even listen to those people. I will talk when I have something to say. Well, that is actually all of the time, but when I have something to say and can sit down to say it.
Maybe have the wherewithal to say it. Yes,
coherent.
Yes.
Sentence that doesn't have like heavy sighs and dramatic moments.
Well, we've actually got lots of things to talk about. I mean, we've played quite a few games really for what's been a bit of a flat time.
We only talk about 3 things on our show, except for when we were doing those 4 episodes about what we were going to call recently.
Yeah, that happened. That worked out well, didn't it? Yeah.
And, hey, I have carried a few things. You notice that Voidfall is not on the table. Septima is not on the table.
But they're not culled. They're just
out of the way. They've gone into spots where
we were never considering culling those 2 games.
Just... Well, not at this time. Who knows who we are in 5 to 10 years? But because I have carried other things to the front room in anticipation of culling.
Oh, yes.
What are the things that we normally talk about?
Well, we normally talk about a game that we've decided to add to our collection. Oh, it's 2 months. What did we used to do? Did we talk about the design of a game? No, that's not what we did. Oh, yes, we talked about a game that we've decided not to add to the collection.
Did you just fake that?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I was having genuine concerns for you.
Yeah, and game that wasn't quite up to our... Well, it might have been great,
it might be great. We might get in the future, but at this time, no. And then we...
So you mean like Age of Innovation?
That's not happening.
Because we
already have that game in 2 different versions. We already
have only got one.
Gaia Project.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Or Gaia Project, if you prefer. And we already have
Terra Mystica.
Yeah, we don't need Terra Mystica Light.
It's not light.
All the more reason.
Terra Nova was the light one.
We don't.
Anyway, this is an ongoing saga. You watch this space. We'll have it eventually.
We will not have it.
Can I play the Brett Walder card?
No, I've probably played that card for
any number of other games as well. Yeah. So,
and someday Brett Walder will deliver. And if you let me turn Brett Walder into a wall art piece, it's going to work. It will be nice, Mister. I don't want to put box covers on the wall with.
Yeah,
heavy
that
magnets.
Magnet thing was pretty interesting. What was it?
I forget what it's called. It's on Kickstarter, but
girl putting board game boxes on wall. I'll call it
right with magnets.
Yeah,
heavy magnets. But we're apparently not doing that.
But we do one other thing on our podcast.
Talk about a game we've recently played.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is the easiest thing to talk about.
Let's go in order. Let's be very orderly. Get back into the groove. Oh, I made a Madonna reference. I didn't mean to. I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
If you have...
You know, we have just been on holiday.
Oh, I'm just going to put
Do you
the
think
transition.
That was borderline cringeworthy?
Stop. Go on. Can you get Lucky Star in?
Well, we do have Astra sitting right next to us on the table.
Well, I'm burning up to get to the next section.
All right, so then.
Let's put the music on.
Before we go out of vogue. Sorry, that's post-shark jump Madonna for us. We're 80s children.
You know what? Madonna is a shark that was always jumping. But that's a topic for another day.
All right, then.
On to the next segment.
Yep.
All right, so our first segment, we're going to talk about something we backed, which I feel has been many, many things of late, but one thing in particular that you were keen...
Yeah, Essen we do tend to, and as you always tell me, it's not backed, it's a game we've decided to add to the collection, because more recently, in recent years, I feel, done a little less Kickstarter and a lot more retailing around Essen.
Do they know you by name at Phil Bear? Where it seems.
I don't imagine they have too many Australian customers. So we do tend to add a few around us, and though not as many immediately this year as we did last year. Last year was hardcore.
And I think we have some disputes going over some of the most highly ranked games.
We do have some disputes, but you know, as you know, ever, you know, we'll just get them and see what
No,
it's
not.
Hey, I decided to, you know, I ceded and have surrendered and pulled back on the Rosenberg game that everyone loves and just looks a little bit too much like Quacks of Quedlinburg in the art style.
You know what? We might talk about that another time. I thought we were going to talk about, in this case, it was something that we backed.
Yeah, and we both wanted it.
We did, but you were excited about it, I think, when you just heard the name.
Yes.
So why don't you give us the title and talk about your big excitement?
Well, I am a Michael Crichton fan, and I'm a fan of dinosaurs. And I remember being really surprised a couple of years ago when we were in Kmart, for we still have them here in Australia.
So just so if you don't know, Kmart in Australia is like Target in the United States. So one, never died. Two, people do all kinds of lifestyle hacks and are excited to go there. And
Kmart. And oddly enough, Targets are closing here in Australia and being replaced by Kmarts. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure if it's owned by the same parent company or what, but yeah.
Not quite, I don't think.
Yeah. And Target has a slightly different, whiter, more white around the logo as well.
I thought you were going somewhere different with that.
Clientele, so. You thought I meant. No, I'm...
Decor? I don't know.
I don't. So...
There you were in Kmart.
I was there and we were in the books section and I saw Dragon Bones by Michael Crichton, which was a...
Is that the name of it?
Yes, Dragon Teeth.
I was going... Yeah.
Dragon Teeth. And it was sitting... there, and I thought, wow, this looks like another Jurassic Park novel, but it's not. It's about the Bone Wars, you know, between these two famed paleontologists.
Tell me more about Bone Wars, which is also the name of the game that we decided to back.
It is the game that we decided to back, and I think the deluxe box cover is much nicer than the one that it comes with
you
by default.
The cover that doesn't have people's faces
yes,
on it?
I know how you feel about that. But yeah, I thought it was a really interesting theme, and despite not having read Dragon's Teeth or Dragon Teeth.
And why haven't you?
Well, it doesn't. It just seems like when a man leaves a manuscript on his computer for quite a long time, you wonder, did he want it to see the light of day? Was he not that happy with it? I don't know. Well, I mean, I'll probably read it one day, but...
And who's patched it together?
I'm not sure. I think it actually was complete.
Oh.
And that was the thing. People were, there's this complete manuscript on his computer. You know, why has he not done...
But knowing Michael Crichton, it's probably exquisitely researched. So yeah. Even if the writing wasn't where he wanted to be or the plot development, I bet you'd still learn so much like with Jurassic Park.
Yeah. So it's kind of a history-ish, you know, sort of like the north and south of paleontology, you know, with a, you know, war between, you know, feuding.
I'd have forgotten about the Crichton book and I'd forgotten about anything I knew about the Bone Wars, but I am always a sucker for a slice of underexamined history.
Yeah.
Plus dinosaurs.
And dinosaurs. Like, we've got a lot of dinosaur games. And admittedly, most of them are from Pandasaurus, but...
And as we look around the room, a lot of dinosaurs.
We do. I just put one...
Up to rights.
Yeah, it had fallen over a little bit.
Oh, poor little...
The Stegosaurus.
Well, I have a question
from
for
IKEA.
You. Yes.
It's probably called... Dongs or something, you know, but...
So, favorite dinosaur, Stegosaurus or Triceratops?
It used to be Triceratops when I was a kid, but, you know, it's a bit of a cliche, isn't it? I'm coming around on Stegosaurus. Stegosaurus seems pretty chill, you know, with his thagomizer.
Gotta love the thagomizer.
Yeah.
After the late Thag Simmons.
Yeah.
Of course.
But I thought it was a really interesting premise. And then when I saw the game board and so forth and it just looked nice on the table, I wasn't so sure about the box art. You know, for us, box art comes into it. Everyone will say, oh, you're stupid. It's got nothing to do with the game. But when you've got so many games to choose from, I want it to look nice as well.
And who knows? It may end up magnetized and hanging on the wall.
Yeah. I mean, we have, at this point, we have games out in our living area, so it's got to, you know, I'm not going to have something terrible looking, you know, Battleship from 1979 sort of out here.
Can we sidebar on that? You know, some people think that's so terrible, like you've turned your home into a retail store to do that.
Yeah.
But we saw something so hideous yesterday.
Oh, you're talking about the people that chop the board games up into smaller...
It's no secret that board game manufacturers do not use space economically. They like a big box for a big presence in retail, I guess. Or maybe because they think you're going to put expansions in it and so forth. And so some people, because we're all running out of space, they chop their box up. And some try to do it very artistically, so it's still a decent-looking box that preserves a lot of the artwork on it. But... Oh, it's a crime as far as I'm concerned.
Ticket to Ride in a box the size of Cards Against Humanity or something.
I had to mention
Cards Against Humanity. and they cut the board up too.
Some people cut the boards.
It's wrong. Yeah.
So that's horrific. And if that's you, I apologize for judging what I have not personally tried.
Do these people not have front spare rooms where they can put all their extra games that aren't the ones that they play all the time? And by all the time, I mean once every couple of years.
And I know some people, like, they have children and the children take up space, but children
can't. Cut the children back.
You can cut the children back. That's always a thought. Yeah. But also put it up high where the children can't get to it. What could go wrong? Is some toddler going to drag over something and climb up and the shelf's going to fall down? The whole Kallax
falls, you know? Because as we know, we all screw the Kallaxes into the wall.
Yeah.
Are we the only ones with like 47 Kallax? Well, that's it'd be an even number, wouldn't
it? Yeah, I want to Kallax see
Kallax mounts. In the cupboard, utility cupboard in the
you
other
gotta, room. You got to stop talking about this because when the earthquake comes and all of this no is in ruins.
No one's going to pity us at
no,
all.
No, I don't
think long anyone... story short, we don't attach our Kallaxes to the wall.
Well, we save the hardware to think about it. We do bottom weight them quite heavily, though, with LPs and such.
We do. So. I'm kind of mildly freaking out about the way that top one looks like it's creeping. But it always has looked like that, hasn't it?
And it has.
On fine.
It's deliberately like that.
It is.
And what I liked is, of course, that I had to go to Wikipedia to bone up on the Bone Wars.
Yep.
And it starts out with, this article is about the period of competitive fossil hunting. And I thought, I love how that's just a thing. Like, we all know that period of competitive fossil
hunting. It was
well
known,
hunting.
Yeah. You know, the bone war times when...
Yeah. And then I thought, oh, wait, dinosaurs. We're getting some dinosaurs.
Oh, in the...
Mini Museum number 5.
Yeah.
And then I was looking at... Okay,
bits of them anyway, not the actual whole dinosaurs. We're not Nicolas Cage.
No, he doesn't even have a whole dinosaur.
He's a skull, right?
But he's in the area right now.
He is. Nicolas Cage is like an hour from us. Not
tops,
even that.
Tops.
Not even that, yeah.
Half an hour maybe. Because
we could go and hang with him.
We could bring... Which game would you bring for Nicolas Cage?
I wouldn't bring a game because in this room we have a bunny and we have a box.
Oh, no.
You know, and we could get him to say, put the bunny back in the box. But, you know, with a drawl and
okay,
slower
so
than that. More drawn out.
And in which game box are you going to put the bunny in?
It's the Voidfall one over there.
Really? Because I saw a bunny take a power wee earlier that upended our entire afternoon of
it did, yeah.
laundry. So, yeah. Sure, put it in the
put
brand
it back
new box.
In the litter box. No, I don't mean in the... I mean the shipping box of Voidfall. It's over there.
Oh. Yeah, the bunnies do actually love shipping boxes.
We are really going off on some sidebars today,
we're
going to
be on
we?
All kinds of...
Is this a defense mechanism about it being quite a while since we thought about these games? And
maybe we just don't have enough friends to talk to, so... This is our chance to do this. I want to tell you about... I want to do lots of things.
Yeah, okay.
I want to talk about dinosaurs because I don't know what dinosaurs are in the game Bone Wars. Yep. I know there are multiple... Are there multiple?
All I know is that there's a Morrison Formation, right? Am I right?
What is that?
Isn't that one of the places where they dig the rock things? Maybe it's not Morrison. Maybe it's something. Could be.
Just tell me it is and I'll believe you and be impressed.
Yeah. They all have names, these like places of...
Morrison Formation. Is this a like a cliff formation? Or
yeah,
is it
you know, those
bones?
Places of like strata and stuff where they dig for bones. I think there's a Morrison one. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm thinking of former Prime Minister of Australia. He was a bit of a bone war.
I was just stopping to think about digging for dinosaur bones and how archaeology is so exciting, but just so much tedious standing in the sun.
Yes.
Or they have the little tents over them, but standing in the heat with just brush, brush, brush.
Yeah.
Maybe it's very zen. I don't know.
And then John Hammond arrives with a helicopter and you've got to put a tarp really quickly over the...
Ruins it every time.
Yep.
David Attenborough wouldn't do that.
No.
So we are getting 3 different types of dinosaur bones, at least ones that end in saurus. So we have Daspletosaurus, which is frightful. What does saurus mean?
Lizard.
Frightful lizard. There's Alamosaurus, which is...
Do you remember it?
Yes. Which is an Ojo Alamo lizard, whatever that means. Eye of the Alamo. I don't know what Alamo means. And then there's the
How can you not know what Alamo means?
I know so much. Something's escaped me.
Okay.
I'm not taking your bait.
Okay,
I'm
you're
just
not.
Powering on through. Okay. And then there's the Carcharodontosaurus. What do you think that
Something
is?
Something tooth lizard.
Yes, it's the shark tooth lizard. So of the frightful and the shark tooth and the Ojo Alamo, which dinosaur are you most excited?
I thought Ojos were eyes.
Yeah, so that's what I was saying, like Eye of the Alamo, but what is Alamo? Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Duolingo hasn't told
me. The
Donto,
the shark tooth one sounds pretty good.
It does, doesn't it? But they were all
Do you get one of its teeth?
I think you do.
Really?
Yeah, and we're getting the touch one so we can touch it.
Yeah, but it's not like huge like a dinosaur. It's a bit of one of its.
It'd be a bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So not this giant dinosaur too.
Because we failed to be archaeologists.
Okay.
So don't you... How do they resist?
Just to be clear, the mini museum is this thing that sends you like little bits of all interesting things from history, like bits of dinosaurs and bits of that meteorite. Chick who flew across
that
the...
That chick...
Amelia Earhart. Not actually Amelia. Part of her chair, right? Her seat of...
If they're sending
the seat
part
of one of her
of Amelia
backup
Earhart,
planes.
They're making some bold claims.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Millie.
It's not a reliquary.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of people have seen Mini Museum and where these artifacts, these little fragments are encased in lucite. But we went... I don't really like that. That's permanent plastic around things that I
should
meant
be
to
touched,
like,
yeah.
We're going to get a little bit of the Woodstock stage...
Yeah.
Some stuff like that. I forget what else is in Mini Museum 5.
How would the Bone Wars dudes, for I have forgotten their names.
You mean Cope and Marsh?
Yeah. How would they react to know that these bones that they were so desperate to fight over are now being sent out on Backerkit? Is it Backerkit?
I don't know. Maybe
one of those
found.
Things. To randos around the world.
Well, here's the problem. All the bones we're getting are from dinosaurs discovered in the 1920s. When did the Bone Wars take place? That's your first quiz question.
I have no idea.
In the before that times.
Okay, 1876?
I'd say 1880s, 1890s. I feel like I
wrote
it down.
What's so important about 1876?
It's the 100-year anniversary of 1776 and the Revolutionary War.
Nothing to do with the Civil War?
No, that ended in 60.
I don't know these things. I'm not an American.
1861, 1865, 64 was what? I don't... no one's asked me that.
Anyway,
scariest dinosaur?
Oh...
And is it in this game will be my next
question. I don't know.
Question.
I think Utah raptors are pretty scary. And just to clarify, Utah raptor is what is depicted as a velociraptor in Jurassic Park films. And the velociraptors are, as the kid says at the start of Jurassic Park, the film, it looks like a chicken. And they're pretty small velociraptors and like turkey size. Not very big.
And yet the correct
but not
answer
fat like turkeys.
Is pterodactyls. You know I'm afraid of pterodactyls.
They're not dinosaurs, are they? Aren't they?
Oh, stop with that.
No, pteranodons aren't dinosaurs. I forget.
You can't tell me that. Every coloring sheet I had in elementary school would have had pterodactyls.
One of them doesn't count as a dinosaur. I forget which one.
Well, I'm afraid of pterodactyls.
Isn't it a pterosaur? I guess that is a dinosaur. I don't know.
What does pterō mean?
I don't
P-T-E-R-O. So something.
I don't know.
Lizard.
If you know this and if it's a dinosaur, you can comment.
I will tell you, a dactyl in poetry is what?
It's to do with its fingers,
stressed,
right? You know,
unstressed. So now I'm wondering why in poems, if you go dun, dun, dun with a word, why is that a dactyl?
I don't know. Maybe sometimes you're stressed when you see one.
Yeah,
sometimes they're far away and, you know, you feel all right.
So the time of poetic meter overlapped with the various dinosaur eras and they were like, pterodactyl meter.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great if some student were writing an essay and they were talking about the structure of a poem and instead of saying, a dactyl for the foot, they said a pterodactyl.
Yeah.
That would make my day.
It wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, I'd pay that.
Okay, so now I have some trivia questions for you.
Okay. In lieu of talking about anything whatsoever about the game.
Well,
some
points about the game.
Yep.
I'm glad they fixed the cover because that deluxe cover came later.
Yeah, it's nice.
I think in terms of people talk all the time about the beigeness of a Euro. I think this is your best of beige because beige belongs with archaeology.
Certainly does. I mean, everything that you find is beige, really. I mean, the whole sort of 80% of Raiders of the Lost Ark is beige.
And it's glorious.
Yeah.
And the deluxe all-in version, always happy to see that.
Yep.
So there's something for everybody.
Yep.
Yeah. I like playing cards as actions.
Yes, so do I. Yeah.
So we've seen that done very well with Ark Nova. So I'm curious to see how that goes. And I have no idea what my note here is because I wrote something about liking the idea of debunking.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's a little bit like in, what was the game? I think it was one of the Lacerda games where there's like a theory about something and you get to debunk it. Or there is a Lacerda game, I'm pretty sure you do. And don't you also get to debunk theories in Alchemists?
Yes, you do.
Yeah,
or else you have to prove your dissertations.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Okay, now I'm understanding my comment here. So it's given that this was really contentious with these two guys, Cope and Marsh, and they were kind of probably got a little bit sassy, willy-nilly debunking going on. So it's going to be like a Reddit flame war, I think, basically.
Well, you've seen over the years, you know, those ways they thought dinosaurs was put together. You know, T-Rex has sort of stood almost vertically, you know, in the old sort of designs. And Spinosaurus as well, you know, like stands like up high, but now they usually depict it on all fours. And, you know,
even T-Rex.
No, Spinosaurus.
Oh, Spinosaurus.
Yeah, the one with the sail on its back. That's kind of was from.
Of course, I'm completely familiar.
Jurassic Park 3, I think, with right?
That. And I wouldn't even admit to having seen Jurassic Park 3.
I think it's Jurassic Park 3.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Jurassic Park 3.
Yeah.
You're out of the Crichton zone.
Well, there's the bit where they do have some bits from the
from the
proper
book. Lost book. World or
no, they do have some bits I think from Jurassic Park.
Oh.
The novel that didn't make it into the Jurassic Park the movie. Like there's a big aviary of or maybe maybe that was the I don't know. Anyway, it's I still think it's better than the new ones with what's his face.
I don't like what's his face, but
no,
that's another issue because it's something with cats that I can't even remember what now.
Yeah.
Talk about inarticulate.
Anyhow.
So I have trivia for you related to Bone Wars.
Let's hear the trivia.
All right. So there was another name for the Bone Wars.
The Fossil Fracker?
That's a really great name because I have one real name and two fake names and you have to decide which is the real name.
Okay.
Great Dinosaur Rush.
Yep.
Lizard Fever.
Yep.
The Peabody Problem.
Well, I'm gonna eliminate Lizard Fever.
Lizard Fever.
And who would make up the Peabody Problem? Unless you got ChatGPT to do it.
No. My notes come from you.
Okay,
thank you.
The Peabody Problem. Great Dinosaur Rush sounds good, so I'm going to go with that one.
It does sound exciting.
Yeah. Is it the Peabody Problem?
No, it's Great Dinosaur Rush.
Where the hell did you get the Peabody Problem from?
Because...
Isn't that someone off...
Are you thinking of Sherman?
Yes.
Okay, no, because these paleontologists, Cope and Marsh, I see the printers cut off some of my notes, so there was Cope, who came from a more wealthy background,
yeah,
and then Marsh... who was kind of poor, but he had an uncle that worked with, I want to say, the Peabody Institute. And I thought maybe you were aware of that.
Did they ever, like, sit down and have kind of, like, you know, friendly, you know, cessation of hostilities, you know?
I'm sorry. I don't have time for your chit-chat. I'm on to question
number two.
Okay,
yeah.
There are three... I'm going to give you a list of five states.
Okay.
Where dinosaurs have been looked for in
Montana.
The past. And of these... five, I want you to pick the three states that they went to.
Okay, let's hear.
And these are alphabetical. I can say that word.
Yep.
Arizona.
Yep.
Colorado.
Yep.
Nebraska.
Yep.
Texas.
Yep.
Wyoming.
Yep. Well, I'm going to say, let me hear them again.
Arizona, Colorado, Nebraska, Texas, Wyoming. So you have to get rid of two.
Well,
or pick three.
I'm going to get rid of Colorado, and I'm going to get rid of, what are the other four again? Texas.
Arizona, Nebraska, Texas, Wyoming.
I'm going to take Nebraska for sure, because I'm 99% sure it's a big one. I'll go with Texas and Wyoming.
Wait, so you're...
Nebraska, Texas, and Wyoming I'm keeping.
Okay, that is incorrect.
Oh.
You'll have to Google later.
But is Nebraska one of them?
Nebraska is one of them, so good job.
I knew it would be.
So there. If you're using Australian preferential voting...
Yeah.
Actually, Colorado is one of them as well, and Wyoming. So they didn't go to Arizona. They did not go to Texas.
Oh.
And how many new species within 10 do you think they
48.
Discovered? So 48 new species? That is incorrect. 136 new species, these two guys.
Wow.
That's really contributing to the scholarship. So we don't play them, do we? Right? We play
others. No, we play people that are working and we're kind of in the camp of one or the other. But we can shift, I believe, throughout the course of the game.
Allegiances. Interesting.
Yeah. So a little bit like in Lisboa where you do those two different designers. And right? Is it Lisboa where there's those two guys? And
sounds familiar. It's only my favorite, Lacerda, maybe, so who knows. All right, find the lie. I'm going to give you four things that I'm going to allege happened in the Cope and Marsh Wars. Did the diggers on each side throw bones at each other? That's the first one.
Yeah.
Did they destroy small bones that they found, did they name species after each other? So did Cope name after Marsh or Marsh after Cope? Did they have an olden day style flame war over a Brachiosaurus skull being perched on a Brontosaurus spine?
Which one, and how many of them are lies?
One of these is a lie.
I'm going to say that the throwing bones at each other is the lie.
And so you think they destroyed dinosaur bones, small dinosaur bones?
Yeah, like maybe to hide that there was dinosaur bones there.
And you think these two people who are bitter enemies named species? I don't know. They're small ones.
Maybe it was a dinosaur. They had lots of...
Okay, okay.
Was that the lie?
Well, wait. And you think that these people who were bitter enemies named dinosaur species after each other?
Yeah, you know, really unflattering dinosaurs.
And you think there was heaps of drama over putting a Brachiosaurus skull on a Brontosaurus body.
That seems like the total thing that people would be smug about online.
It was huge, apparently. It was like the biggest flame war in the publications.
Oh, okay.
And they were just sniping.
Was this the first recorded use of the word lol?
Probably. Yeah, you know. Because it became very internet-like with just the tiniest little mistake.
Noobs.
And they went savage on each other in the publications. And like, well, we can't trust a single thing. He's there, that Brachiosaurus skull. Just like, that was one of the big, big no-nos. You are right. It was that they didn't throw bones at each other. They were dynamiting stuff. But yeah, they destroyed so many bones because, they didn't want other people to get them.
Yeah.
So it's really controversial. They set paleontology back and also rocketed it forward at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, so we lost a lot, but we also gained so much.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. So I don't. Maybe we can team up together, make it a cooperative when we play. And final question.
Okay.
Who won the Bone Wars? Was it Cope? Was it Marsh? Was it someone else?
I'm going to say it was a third party that came in and, you know, just took advantage of their Discord and probably had some new ways. And
well, if you wanted to go by who found more, it was Marsh. It was the poor guy.
I was going to say Marsh
who
first.
Who was less privileged, who ended up finding more. Paleontology won. I'd already told you that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so... And
good
we
for
won.
Paleontology.
And we won by extension.
And it looks and by backing it, because it looks like a fun game.
Yeah. So yeah. I think...
And theme.
We'll learn new things. I really like learning new things.
Now, I have actually learned so many things through gaming, be it board gaming or computer gaming, going right back to the Commodore 64.
That's true. When we've done trivia nights and stuff, but even just in life, you'll pull out this reference and be like, how do you know
that was from
this obscure
Sid
Japanese
Meier's Civilization 1 or Romance of the Three Kingdoms 2 from Koei that I played on a terrible old XT that had a fan that went grrrr, and I had to wrap a sleeping bag around it so it didn't deafen me.
That was great for the computer.
No, it was the computer was...
Don't make me bleep you.
Yeah.
So, but is that an argument for video games? Well, like all things,
yeah, they're
moderation.
Very educational.
They can be great. Board games can be great. All things, probably...
I mean, the sort of games I play as well are, you know, thinking man's games, because I'm a thinking man.
Yes, you are. I think as you're in World of Warcraft.
Yeah, well, I've learned about fishing.
17 years of World of Warcraft.
I could do a thesis on addiction. Actually, I'm not addicted to World of Warcraft because I stopped playing for long periods of time.
And now you're playing the special You Can Die
hardcore
version.
You die and that's it. And then someone finds you.
And then 5 minutes later, you just start all over with a new character.
Yeah.
But I'm not bitter. As an ex-WoW player myself, the only reason I didn't keep playing was because I hurt my back and I couldn't sit there for huge stretches of time that seemed to go forever.
Game. And there's archaeology in it, but not in that version.
No. I was so-so on the archaeology in World of Warcraft. But shall we go into what we didn't back?
Yes. Okay, so the game that I decided not to bring into the collection was a game that...
Wait, I should point out that for this, we actually split up.
Yes, we did.
And went our separate ways, and we looked at the Essen lists, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
That was the plan.
I looked at the Essen list. I have this list of like 34 must-buys from Essen, and I think...
Some of them aren't.
And I've decided that a full third of them are not must-buys, probably don't get at all.
You've calmed
and
down.
Then there's like about another third that you've kind of vetoed, and the rest of them we're buying.
Shari is the joy killer.
And this is actually one of those games. And this is one of those games because I ummed and ahed about it. And it should be, you know, in other years, you know, in a time of a collection of only 30 or 40 games, it would be an insta-buy. And I thought, nah, when it came up. And then I thought, oh, but. And I asked you and you said nope. And I thought, you're right. And the game is Maracaibo Dice. Because it looks a bit different from Maracaibo, not just light Maracaibo.
Wait. Maracaibo Dice? Is that the new Maracaibo?
Yes.
Isn't that called something else?
It's Maracaibo, like, and it has dice.
Friends of Maracaibo or something?
No, I think it's called Maracaibo
Dice.
Doesn't
it have three names or three words? I don't know.
Rolling Dice and Maracaibo. I don't know. It's a new Maracaibo game with dice.
Okay. Yes.
Should I get up and check?
Nah.
No. Anyway, it's the new Maracaibo game with dice that came out at Essen. And it looks really good. And we love Alexander Pfister. He's probably my favorite designer. And we've played Maracaibo once, even though we loved it.
Well, other games.
I can't remember how to play it. That's why. And didn't it have some kind of slightly strange rule for two players?
I can't remember that.
I think might have changed.
I can picture it all perfectly. That one doesn't call me the way other ones of his do.
No, but we need to have another go of it.
Oh, absolutely.
Play it again. I mean, it's in no danger of being culled. But, you know, really, do we need another game that's kind of like Maracaibo when, having said that, we bought all the Great Western Trails, but Great Western Trails is my favorite game.
Yes, and we'll have things to say on that eventually. Huh, that's interesting that you chose that because you were... So when we split up to say, okay, we're going to each decide privately which game we're not going to back, you said, and don't make it. Which one did you say not to do? You said, we can't just pick Evacuation because you're tired of saying it wasn't pretty enough.
Yeah.
Which it's not. I don't care what people are saying.
Delicious games just don't make a nice looking game.
And it's the hottest game at Essen, right? Yeah. Or it was.
And I love Vladimir Suchi.
Absolutely.
Suchi, however you say
it. And it's probably super fun to play. Don't tell me about it because I have lots of other...
The board's not the worst, but it's...
No, I have lots of other fun games to play. Yeah, it has to be pretty now.
Yeah, so we got... we like rodents and we like the look of that Messina...
1347.
And we got it and it's a good game, but the components are so average. I just have no desire to bring it out under the table when
this needs to be twice as big too.
Tactile pleasure is a huge part of playing a game. Yeah, and the small size makes it really fiddly. Yeah, I agree.
Right. So this kind of feels like that when you're saying Maracaibo. It's kind of a spin-off. Were you really tempted by the spin-off?
Yeah, I was.
Okay.
I was. It looked good. I like dice games. You know, I like dice workers and, you know, things like that. And it looked cool. It looks like a really good game. And in many ways, I might prefer having it than Maracaibo. But you never know. Maybe one day in the future.
Well, maybe we'll get rid of Maracaibo.
I can't see us getting rid of Maracaibo. We need to play it again.
All right, so I'm going to tell you about my game.
Yep.
I had a brief flirtation, you won't believe this, with Undaunted.
Really?
I did. I thought... You know,
isn't that a war game?
Something came over me. It's bag building.
We like bag game building.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, just whatever flickered in my heart for A Few Acres of Snow beyond the poetry of that game title, I thought, I don't know lots about many wars. Maybe I would like to learn more about...
Undaunted what?
See, well, that was the thing, you know, so I was looking a little bit, but it's also, it's ugly.
Oh.
Yes. I was looking around a bit. I'm not saying I won't ever want to try playing it, though. If we ever are one of those lucky people who go to a Goodwill-type shop and get some amazing game for $5, if Undaunted's there for $5, I will try it.
Yeah.
Just because I like going a little bit out of my usual theme zone. You might not approve of my choice because...
That wasn't your choice.
It wasn't my choice.
Okay. Yeah.
So the one I did end up thinking that did seriously tempt me is one that we talked about ages ago, but for some reason is really just seeming to debut at Essen, even though I think it was on some crowd funding platform. And to me, it's been around for ages, come and gone, but I guess it's really actually just arriving. It's Discordia.
We looked at it last year and right. I noped out of it last year.
Right. But every time we see the box cover, it's like, oh no, we didn't like that for some reason.
It just looks vanilla.
It does a bit. The box is appealing. And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to look a little bit more into it. I'm going to read the rule book because it was tugging at me a bit. And it's Romans on the Rhine.
Yeah.
So Romans in Germany, that's not a theme that I think I normally get to explore. It gets a 7.5 on BoardGameGeek. The components, there's a cloth bag. There are some dual layered player boards because I thought, why didn't we before? Was it just the wrong time?
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of games last Essen.
So, and the first player gets to be called Maximus.
Oh.
Yes. And it deals not just with Romans on the Rhine, but really specifically with Saturnalia. Are you familiar with this?
No.
Are you about to sneeze?
No.
Are you on?
No. Okay.
It's a festival between autumn and winter.
Huh.
And I was like, ooh, a fifth season. And then I went all Wikipedia hopping and I learned about Sigillaria, which I'm sure I'm butchering. Do you know about that from a video game of the past, perhaps?
Is it something to do with sigils?
It is, and it's so many things. It's the 23rd of December.
Oh.
It's also the name for a shop where they sell pottery wax figures, which also go by this name.
It must be mad, you know, a couple of days before Christmas.
I know, right? And so, and the figures are, well, I guess if you're a little bit more elite and you're shopping in the better sigillarias for the better
Sigillarium,
probably.
Yeah.
They'll be of different gods. They're basically action figures for Romans of yore. And you get them around, some of the gift giving of these little wax and clay figures may be translated later into Christmas gifts and such. Yeah. But if you're shopping, say, at Kmart on the Rhine, you're going to probably get like a hunchback or a hermaphrodite.
Oh.
Yes. And then I was thinking, why not hermaphrodite?
Probably it would be in 2023.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But maybe back then also as well. We messed it up somewhere. And nobody knows how serious it was. Like, were these objects of devotion or was it literally like, grr, I'm Zeus and I'm coming over here? And so people who
like
can't
sort of Star
see,
Wars figures.
Yeah,
so,
and then Zeus gets together with Chewbacca. And
People keep them in their boxes? You know, mint.
No, probably. Oh, that was a really violent throw there. Pretend there was an earthquake or something because I just angered Zeus with making fun of his clay.
Didn't like being thought of being kept in it. Yeah.
And when Zeus is mad at you, well, just swans walk
out. So Discordia was your past.
It was. And I thought that's all really interesting sounding, isn't it? This giving
it
of
is really interesting
that
sounding, but I still don't think the game looked that fun.
So I wrote in my notes, ultimately, I don't know why, because I think this is the type of game we totally would have embraced before. And I just thought, maybe it's just a bit dry.
Yeah.
When I was reading the rule book, I was thinking, is this how that campaign for North Africa goes? Because I was all, you know, excited reading the intro saying, oh, I'm going to surprise Mike. You know, this game that we thought was pretty and might be interesting. And I don't think we really interrogated fully before we dismissed. You know, I'm going to bring a winner to the table with this whole clay wax figurine gift shopping.
Are there actually clay wax figurine?
No.
We'll see, this is pretty critical. I mean, it's a bit of a missed opportunity.
Somebody on Etsy would be pulling
resining
that together.
Resining them or something,
And so that is, the final goodbye to Discordia.
What we need is one of those like Hansa sort of, you know, wax figurine sort of, you know, remember they did
Hansa?
H-A-N-S-A. Were they the people that did like, you know, and you could get those like kits for making candles as a kid or
I had the kit for making the shrunken heads from apples.
Or like little pots out of plaster of Paris and you would paint them. Is it Hansa?
I certainly had plenty of this because looms with make with
you could have like a game where you could make wax
gods.
Yeah, that would be good.
And you could get it in different editions.
Yeah.
Well, that's not going to go south. Or you could get a hunchback or a hermaphrodite.
Yes, that would be fun.
So, yeah, the hermaphrodite, far more revered in the past than I think how the term's been used maybe in the 20th century. So, don't know what I want to do with that in the 21st century. And were hunchbacks maybe good luck?
Hmm.
I want to say I feel like I've heard that. Or is it just
rub
something
their head
I'm making
or something? I don't
know. Maybe rub the hump? Yes. Maybe. No, I'm thinking of I've seen it in fiction where somebody will have a hump and they do something with it. That's probably somebody's entire master's thesis there. Would you like to talk about a game that we did actually play?
Oh boy, I would like to talk about a game we actually played. I could open up here with a little musical intro, except I far prefer Queen's version, so I'm not going to do Ice Ice Baby, because the game's ice.
It's not, Queen doesn't even have a, it's well, under pressure.
Well, you know what I mean, under pressure.
I thought, I don't know what I thought you were going to go for with Ice.
It was
what
a bit of a
songs?
Labored kind of introduction. Cold as Ice.
Oh, that's a great song. Remember
willing to sacrifice our...
Nothing will I sacrifice.
No. An hour and a half to play.
What is the final lyric in that song? You're as cold as ice.
I know.
Willing to sacrifice
our love.
Yeah. So
you
it's not
paradise.
Both of them.
One day you'll pay the price.
Yeah. It's she's willing to sacrifice their love for what though? Just for
she's
whatever.
Digging for gold. She's throwing away a fortune in feelings, but one day she'll pay.
And then I could
coldest,
drum that bit now.
Coldest.
But
anyway, so do we have that on an album? I don't think we've got that album.
We have video of me drumming to
That's
it.
True.
I'm sure.
That's true at Disneyland.
Yeah, Disney World. I can't believe you made that mistake.
Okay, well.
And then, so there was a drum
machine.
I
almost said same diff then, but you know, it's obviously not. Yeah.
And then I suppose you just drink a Pepsi in one hand and a Coke in the other. And then you drum to the final countdown on the drum
which
machine.
Wasn't as fun to drum to as you'd think it would be.
But cold as ice, that's a fun... And just so people know, because I feel like sometimes maybe people don't know about my story.
You're
going to
talk about you being, you know, on the...
So I have sung with Foreigner at the now demolished Texas Station Casino in Las Vegas. There I was at the stage along with...
Not actually on it, just to be clear.
Yeah, I was going
to
say just right up there next to it along with everybody else. And yeah, you can totally hear me.
Was this the one where someone told you to sit down?
No, that was Tom Petty. That was like 20 years before that.
Oh, okay.
And we are singing. I'm singing, not Mike, because Mike arrived, I think, a couple of months later to Las Vegas. Yeah. So you can actually hear me singing in the background. Live in 05, Foreigner, not Lou Gramm, unfortunately.
No.
But you get to hear me.
But your sort of vocals, you know, elevated the...
I think they did.
Yeah.
And many might say they're indistinguishable.
From the other 5,000 people there or have... Probably not actually that many.
No, it was Texas Station. It wasn't like Boulder Station.
Yeah, you know, people there. Yeah.
But sometimes I imagine...
Yeah, the real big venue
I can
is like
hear myself.
The, whatever that room... What was
Railhead.
That? Railhead. Railhead.
At Boulder Station. Yeah. No, if you're going to rank station casino rooms... Actually, I don't know if that was the biggest one, but the best acts came there.
Yeah, it was a good one.
And then, but you know what? Actually, I took a picture of the Texas Station marquee that night.
Yep.
And I sold that photo later.
Oh.
Remember? I sold a couple of photos, and one of them was of the Texas Station.
Nice. It's probably worth a fortune now.
It was worth $25 at the time.
That's all right.
So, sang with Foreigner, played drums.
Yeah.
Sold a photo.
But you won't find your name on the CD inlay.
That's just going to be, I think, a trivia question in future years. So
who were the 400 people at the,
uncredited.
In the crowd? Yeah,
I probably still have the ticket stubs, so you know I can prove provenance for
one of
the
voices.
Just
to be clear, they were recording that night. You know, they said
For live and but and you know what? If you listen to that album, it is ridiculously out of order. Boy, did they massage the order on that. So insider secrets on Foreigner's live album, unexpected when we're talking about
Ice.
The board game.
Yes.
My most anticipated game of 2021.
It was delayed a bit, wasn't it?
Yes.
And now I just received last week notification that it's about to be shipped, apparently.
Oh, excellent.
It's been here for a while because Etherworks like to send us notifications that are really bewildering, including things we haven't backed and things we've already received. And occasionally we actually even receive these things. But
you mean second copies or you mean...
Second copies.
Yeah,
you know, I think...
It's been a while.
Chris received something that he hadn't actually backed once.
Oh,
we've never
okay.
done that. He got Viceroy, remember?
Oh, what a
shame.
I know,
what a bummer of a thing. I mean, people don't mind the game, but it's pretty crappy production.
But the best thing about Etherworks or Etherworks is...
They're just good shipping.
They do the corners,
oh,
right?
Yeah, those little corner bits.
Little plastic corners.
Yeah, that protect your game. Yes.
Which we actually put on the edges of our cabinet. Alex's.
Stops them wobbling, that, as you know, aren't screwed to the wall.
Right. Yeah,
it gives them that little extra bit of support
and
on a tiled floor.
Nothing will ever go wrong because we've done that. But also, they kind of look good, the black against the white.
Yeah, they do. They do. They look outstanding. Kitchen. Oh, but ice, I really like it. And in fact, I am just charmed by the way the board magnets together and you just sort of build it like a trifle, sort of, you know, like, you know.
Some lady fingers, salad, some lost archaeological items, some sigils perhaps.
And you feel like, you know, when you're building it, because what you do is you lay down these tiles around, 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 like three. Is it three or four layers?
Is it four? Maybe four?
Maybe, but
plus the board?
And you feel like you're going to, oh, I'm going to totally remember where all those things are. We're going to have to spin the board. You totally don't remember. By the time you've got them all down, you have no idea what's where.
Even matter if you have that one friend with genuine photographic memory, it won't really matter. What were you expecting though?
I honestly didn't research it that much. I just thought it looked cool and it had some cool mechanisms. And you know, usually for me, I don't look too hard into the games. I just, what I more look for is, I think, does the game look good and are there mechanisms that I downright hate? You know, if it doesn't look good, I don't want it. If there's mechanisms that I dislike, I don't want it. If there's a mechanism that I'm on, like area control, I'm really on, and bidding, I'm a kind of on that too. If it looks magnificent and everything else is like cool, I might give it a go. But ice looked like, I like all these mechanisms. These all look cool and there's nothing I hate and it looks beautiful and it looks exciting, it looks different, it looks fun. And I knew we had to have it.
And 2 years later,
it came and it was a really fun game. And then we put it on the table and it stayed there for a while unplayed.
Yes, which you always like. But I had my doubts about it.
You did?
I did. Well, one, that layered board. I mean, so what sold me was like, ooh, that's cool. Layers and archaeology.
Yeah.
So once again,
you really do feel like you're digging into the ice, don't you?
Right. And I wanted it to be good. But then as time went on, as the years passed and there was no sign of this game in the world change, I started to have my doubts.
But it's a really quality production in the vein of Namiji, as in it's nothing like Namiji, but Namiji was extraordinarily delayed as well. And when it came, it was a fantastic production.
And we got a second one.
Yeah, and we got two Namijis.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. So maybe the same thing will happen for ice. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I would be so happy to give that to somebody, although I'm not sure who. But over time, I started worrying that it was going to be a gimmick, that having layers of board and so forth. And, you know, just, I didn't know that this company had done anything else.
What else have they done? Anything?
I don't know that they've done anything that we have anyway. So, yeah, it was a really pleasant surprise. What genre would you call this game?
Well, it's a Euro.
Sure, but I guess when I say genre, I mean
set collecting.
So you're talking mechanisms, like,
yeah, set collecting.
That's still a mechanism. I don't consider that a genre.
Variable player powers. Are there mechanisms?
Mechanism.
As well? Oh, genre as in like
fantasy.
Oh, it's a archaeology?
Yeah, and you know BGG doesn't have a category for that?
Hmm.
Because I wanted to see what other archaeological games we had.
Well, it's kind of, I wouldn't call it archaeology because it's not like real, you know? It's like, so it is a bit fantasy. It's like fantasy archaeology.
It's not actually in fantasy.
Alternate universe.
It's in exploration.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's in science fiction, which I
think... Yeah, a bit there. It's tangentially related to science fiction.
Wouldn't you call it as much fantasy as sci-fi? Though there is some magic in, I think, one of the player powers. I don't know. We've not played them all.
I yawned again.
Really dramatically.
It wasn't that dramatic.
It was like, I know a lot about what's going on with your teeth at the moment.
The game is great, though. I just loved it. I love those mechanisms for being able to break things down and
you're just gushing.
Cut underneath the tiles. And oh, it was fun. What a fun game.
Stop gushing.
It is fun.
Stop gushing. I want you to answer my question. What other archaeology games do we have?
That one from Queen Games.
We have Thebes.
Yep, that's the one.
We have Lost Cities.
And Luxor.
We have Luxor.
Archaeology game. And that
Expedition
other little mini
Luxor
game that some people don't like, but I'm okay
with. So that's about three from Queen Games and Lost Cities from Reiner Knizia, which is a card game. It really, it's themed archaeologically, though.
You would
Lost Ruins of Arnak.
Yeah, and you would think some of these tea games are archaeological, but they're not. They're kind of set in contemporary times of those, but they feel archaeological.
New question.
Yep.
And by the way, I've been really keen to do this episode because I'm going to spring something on you. Stop yawning.
I'm sorry. There is something about this room. It's like a mystery spot that makes me yawn. I don't know why. And it also makes my nose run. There's a two strange things about this like little antechamber side of our living area.
No, we have an L-shaped space.
Yeah.
Kitchen kind of in the corner.
Yeah.
And one side of the L is the dining room. It's very open.
Yeah.
But for some reason, when you walk across the boundary that is the dining room, Mike starts yawning and eventually the running nose.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It is something to do with this.
It is genuinely bizarre. You know, you step a few feet away into the next little room, which is...
And I'm fine.
Yeah. So I don't know why here, like
it's a ley line or something.
Yeah, something. So when we're gone, somebody look into that. I have questions.
Yeah.
I have questions. But I was going to say, yes, I've been very keen to talk about this because I'm going to make a big announcement.
What's the announcement?
Well, I'm certainly not going to just answer you. What has Indiana Jones done for archaeology, do you think?
Glamorized it.
Sure.
But also probably created unrealistic expectations, despite the fact that he says in the first movie that 90-whatever% of archaeology is done in the...
Surely not the lab. Library?
Library.
That sounds so amazing.
He says this, you know, and that yet people, yet then promptly is on an adventure the entire most of the time.
He also, says X never, ever marks the spot.
Yeah, he's a bit of a liar.
Do you think that there were letters?
Was there a whole lot of budding archaeologists that kind of became archaeologists because of Indiana Jones?
And do they admit it?
Yeah, and did they have wars over bones?
And... it's kind of like how many people became an English teacher because they like books and reading.
Yeah.
Suckers.
Yeah. Maybe they saw Dead Poet Society.
They are in for a world of sadness.
I haven't seen it all the way through.
Well, you've seen enough to appreciate the Saturday Night Live sketch, which is very good.
It is.
So, coming back to that standing in the heat and slowly brushing with archaeology. But the deducing and the interpreting and the touching. And I thought, and I was thinking of Mini Museum 5 and I thought, I bet that's all worth it.
Emerald Flame is an archaeology game.
You're right.
Yep.
Yeah. We did talk about that recently.
Yep.
And I like genealogy so much, which is nice and air conditioned. And although not when you're squatting through cemetery weeds.
Is this the thing you were springing on me?
I'm getting there.
Oh, okay. I'm waiting and I'm on tenterhooks.
Okay. Thank you for correctly pronouncing tenterhooks, by the way.
Yes. What do you think? I'm going to say tenderhooks or something like you some
might.
Idiot.
You might. No. Yeah. We all have failings.
Anyway.
So, and I was just thinking, sometimes you have to do these things you don't want to do. Now, remember when I said recently I was thinking about becoming an architect?
Is that go to work on Monday? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not about to tell you that I'm going to become an archaeologist.
Okay.
Because I really like having my student loans paid off and I don't want to go out into the heat. And I don't think anybody would take me.
But ice kind of, puts a whole spin on that, doesn't it?
It does. You could be like a cold
Unfortunately,
weather.
Antarctica doesn't have any sort of lost civilizations
that
we know
of.
That we know
and
of.
And we're
yeah.
pretty close considering. Oh, you're bringing up why don't we go to Antarctica, be with the penguins?
I mean, you'll probably find nothing, but penguin bones?
Yeah, maybe.
Yep.
But I'm thinking we need to give something a go.
Frosthaven.
No, it's not a board game.
Okay.
I think we need a new hobby.
Oh.
And we've kind of talked about it before.
Is it metal detecting?
It's metal detecting.
Oh, won't it be hot? And doesn't everyone do it?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like eBay as a late adopter.
I know, but there are people who say, I've worked this field for years.
It's a reason to go, I suppose.
Yeah, and it's like a reason to stroll. The only problem is Australia has all kinds of laws. And especially if you are doing like a metal detecting that can detect gold versus other things and the kind of detectors you have. And every time I've started to look into it, because remember, Dad was going to send me my grandfather's metal detector. Ah. He was going to give it to me, but it was really heavy. And I now sense that that's not going to happen. But you know what? That's fine. We probably want a really modern metal detector. And I'm willing, like all hobbies, to throw some money at it and try to do it right and get a quality thing.
Maybe we can use our drone to scout out likely spots.
Okay, see, that's hurtful. The reason
do a bit of ink pouring over,
okay, it's called a paint pouring. It's not ink pouring. Okay. Ink's the thing that I'm going to get into next when you don't come through on the metal detecting.
Okay.
I keep getting Facebook ads for fountain pens with beautiful bottles of ink. Okay. And I am getting very aspirational about...
You know, what board game are we... Ice. Okay, yeah.
Forget that. About maybe, and this could become a board game theme, just having beautiful bottles of ink and a good fountain pen, and they could sit on top of the unsecured calyxes and probably never fall over and smash. And that's something I'm thinking about. But the reason that I don't fly the drone is because my phone was not working in there, and I got a new phone. And yes, that was 2 years ago. But you also got a new phone and you can fly the drone. But also, there are all these laws now about that, and there's no place to fly it.
Well, we can't fly the drone around here.
No, no. Oh, yeah. So, right.
We should be able to get some sort of drone compensation.
It was always because they built the houses behind us. We were okay before.
Plus, people are really notoriously twitchy about drones flying over there.
They
house.
Seem to think we're trying to look at them. But you know what? The real estate agents are out flying them all the time.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, our backyard's on all these real estate listings because drones. Like, it's one thing with Google Satellite, but the other thing is, like, wow, I really wish I'd dragged the hose over so that then again, you know, the neighbor who would never see that in real life can't deal with that. Anyway, so yes, we have a drone, but we have phones that now can operate it, not our silly old phones. And so, sure, we could use the drone to look for places.
We could. Well, that's another story to look for, you know.
Well, maybe ICE inspired me. ICE and Bone Wars. Maybe
yeah, it's a real theme.
Because turns out, watching YouTube videos about architecture, I haven't become an architect yet.
No.
But I could become an archaeologist, arguably, if I go out and I find things and I add to the historical record.
Yeah, that's probably someone you could get into a war with.
Possibly.
Just for God's sake, if you find a Brachiosaurus skull, don't put it on.
You know, I'll just leave it on a pillow.
And then imagine the years of, you know, is it a Brontosaurus skeleton or a Patasaurus? You know?
Remember when there was no
I'm
Brontosaurus
so glad they didn't get,
for a while?
Briefly, and now it's back.
That was horrifying to me.
Yes.
What was it, late 80s?
Yeah, Brontosaurus was like the...
That was my dinosaur growing up.
Yeah, well, it was kind of like the girl Brachiosaurus to me, you know, even though I know... Cause, you know,
I didn't know about Brachiosaurus.
Brachiosaurus was always my favorite of the biggies.
Look, girls weren't steered toward that. I'm going to blame the system, maybe even the patriarchy. And we got, so what you got was, were two squat dinosaurs, which are Triceratops and
Stegosaurus.
And you got T-Rex.
And Brontosaurus.
And Brontosaurus. And that was it. You got your meat eater.
What about Ankylosaurus?
No, we didn't get those. Girls didn't get those dinosaurs.
Oh, okay.
That was like for boys. So like when we went to go have the fifth grade health talk on getting your period and everything, you guys probably went and just played with dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And got Ankylosaurus. So,
Yeah,
that's your privilege. Yeah, you didn't know about. Now, let me tell you about the delights I had with ice.
Okay.
Now, I will
gush. Yep.
I like asymmetrical powers.
Yep, that's good.
I like world building.
Yeah, and it was really good. It actually scratched some of the same itches of a game that we'll never play again despite owning is Robinson Crusoe. Just, you know, you put those tiles down and it could be different every time. But without all the having to refer to the rule book every 2 minutes.
I liked that there aren't any baddies, no bad guys.
Yeah.
We're all just people who are curious and we're approaching this different ways and we have a town to
Yeah, there's no drama that's going to happen like cave-ins. The cave-ins don't hurt you, it just goes.
Nobody's throwing bones at you.
No.
Nobody's smashing
Mocking
artifacts.
Mocking your placement of dinosaur skulls, no.
Right, or naming like sigils after you in some sort of, you know, little, I don't know.
No.
We need to look these things up. Like, did they do it in a, like, oh, this dinosaur has a stupid looking nose bone cavity, so I'm going to name it after Marsh.
No,
and
big nose.
Yeah, like were they hateful when they were naming after each other? Or was this the part, to answer your question way back when, did they ever sit down? Yeah, there was a time when they were friends.
Oh.
So
oh.
There's probably a
Did they reconcile? Or
no.
You know? Oh, okay.
No, it got bad. I told you, it got really bad. I like that it didn't end up being a gimmick. Holy heck.
No, it was great.
Because, like you say, with the magnets and the layered boards and stuff, you...
And it actually fits together, you know. You're not thinking, oh, God, you know, if only this was...
I don't think the board edges are bad, like Barrage bad, but the people who have put bookbinder tape on the ends. It looks really nice. So yeah. We should get some of that. I liked that there was a light touch of variety with the logbook cards that you shuffle. And at the start of, is it every
day? Yeah, that was
day,
cool. That was cool. Yeah. Which also was a little bit like Robinson Crusoe in a chill way without any real threat.
It was nothing that was going to be like, well, we're going to die now. It was sometimes a little bit like, oh.
We've got to get into a thing, you know. Yeah, it was.
I like, now we did actually watch, rather coincidentally, Mike DeLisio's review of
Just a minute
Ice.
Ago,
yeah. Well, before we did this, and
our tastes tend to coincide quite a lot with his.
Yeah, and Z. Garcia, because we can't have an episode where we don't mention Z. Garcia.
Yeah.
But he addressed how there's a lot of contention around action points, and I liked it. I thought the budget of action points was enjoyable and appropriately limited.
Yes, but way you could only move once, and you know, you can.
Well, that's the two-player game.
Oh, yes, really?
Right. Yeah, you can.
Oh, okay.
Move more, but who cares about those other player counts?
Yeah, we only play two players, pretty much.
In my nitpicks and wishes,
yep,
I wrote very good components, but it is a shame that they had one-sided screen printing, they didn't mean for that to happen. Something happened there,
okay.
And rather than delay the game further, so your archaeologists in the game only have faces on one side, which I guess is true for people.
Yeah, they don't want to be two-faced.
No.
That's for the Bone Wars.
No. And I said I would give it to the budding enthusiast. But am I thinking a budding enthusiast into board games? Yes.
Yeah, I think it's good.
I think it's approachable.
It's not heavy, no.
It's not gateway, but I think...
Just once you learn the rules for like movement and digging, you know, it's all pretty straightforward.
Yeah, and then there are the cool... you have your
artifacts. I mean, straightforward for someone that already knows how to play things
right.
Like Wingspan.
I wouldn't throw
like,
it at somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think, you know, you have somebody who knows how to play and you're going to be all right.
Yeah.
And I think I like the way your artifacts... It is a bit tense knowing when to send them back to the city because you do kind of enjoy using them. So that brings me back to archaeologists. Do you think things end up in the pocket? Like they just can't resist. They have a whole handful of Roman coins.
It's got to have happened.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that it probably belongs in a museum.
Do you think they deny it, but it's an open secret? Or do you think people are going to be very mad that I would even suggest it because...
Some, it depends on the archaeologist. I mean, there are all sorts of shady archaeologists if adventure movies have taught us anything.
I say I'm not a thief, but I really like antiques.
Yeah, they're
so
nice.
So if I had a bit of, say, the Sutton Hoo hoard in my hand and there were, you know, 15 Viking pendants, maybe later I could, I wouldn't keep it forever, but maybe just take it home to really stare at it and then bring it
hang
next
it
day.
Hang it off the dinosaur.
Lava lamp.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Dinosaur Viking pendant. Talk about eclectic, yes. And then, bring it it fell in my pocket.
Yeah, yeah.
And people would say, that's happened to all of us. And we'd all just have an uncomfortable sign. I will never be an archaeologist, but with a metal detector, I can pretend to be one. And as an only child, all I'm looking to do is play pretend, as through the board games.
Yeah, it's fun. And we like board games.
And we like pretending to be archaeologists, as we will in Bone Wars.
But not going out in the hot weather.
Although they're paleontologists, so...
Yeah, I said... Oh.
Ooh.
That was probably quite loud.
You just punched your microphone.
That was a thunder lizard. Brontosaurus, right?
Is it?
I think so.
Oh, well, what's Brachiosaurus then?
I forget.
What's...
really tall, big lizard.
Well, so what's Steg?
Oh, I can't remember.
Mm.
Spined lizard. No, I don't know. I don't know. I forget what Stegosaurus is.
And then Tyrannosaurus Rex would be king of the...
Tyrant king lizard or something.
The tyrant king. Who?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who has little hands.
As always. But you know who else does? Pterodactyls.
They do.
And they're still very scary. So, you know what's not scary? Look to your left.
Yeah, and it is set up.
Ursa Minor, Virgo, Corona Australis.
This could be a spoiler for a future episode.
A future episode on...